Thank you very much. I want you to open your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. And I, in all honesty and sincerity, I ask that you pray for me, that I may learn to preach before I die. I'd like to preach before I die, gospel message. The title of my message this morning is, Why Are We Here? There are many different ways that I could approach this. Ecclesiastes and numerous statements in Proverbs and throughout the Scriptures. But I'm going to bring it out like the old writers used to in years gone by. Why was man made? To glorify God and to enjoy God forever. If a man is a success in every other way in this world and he fails to glorify God, live on God, and enjoy God, he is the greatest of all failures. Christ said, What is a man profited if he gained this whole world and lose his own soul? We're put here to glorify God. David spoke about that a little bit this morning, about when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. They were worshiping. They were calling upon gods. But they glorified the true and living God, not as God. And that's what so many are doing in our day. They use the name of God on every hand, that they glorify Him not as God. God, the only potentate, King of all kings, Lord over all lords. Every king's heart's in the hand of the Lord. He walks amidst the churches and all the preachers are in His sovereign hand. That's the God of the Bible. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That's God. Doeth according to His will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of this earth. That's God. We say, yeah, I believe He does His will. He does His will down here too. And His will in Romans chapter 1, talking about those heathen nations in times past, in ages past, when they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful. He gave them over. Just let them go. And boy, that's what He's doing to America in our day. Just let it go. We got homosexual preachers and homosexual song leaders, and they're just everywhere. I heard, I don't want to preach this kind of a sermon, but I'm gonna bring this in because it's just so important. I heard on TV last week, 40% of all the babies born in the United States last year were born out of wedlock. 70%, I don't know how they measure this. If I did it, I'd lie about it. I don't know how they measure this. 70% of all men, husbands, cheat on their wives. 40% of all wives cheat on their husbands. The oldest institution in the world is marriage. And it's holy. And it's sacred. Sacred. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning. That's the result of not paying any attention to God. Just whatever feels good, do it. You don't get away with anything. Every sin and disobedience shall receive a just recompense of reward. The worst judgment that people can ever suffer is what we're going through right now in the United States of America when everybody's so happy. And that's a withdrawal of God. God withdrawing Himself. Back in the book of Jeremiah, He said, You've showed me your back and not your face. And that's all you're going to see of me anymore. Show you my back. Not going to smile on you. show you my back. Jeremiah, don't even pray for them anymore. They've sinned so grievously and so long that there's no remedy. Don't pray for them. I'm not going to hear you. Oh, God, help us. People think they can ignore God. Well, why are we here in this world? We're here to glorify God. Let me read you a few verses of Scripture, and then I'll try to make a few points this morning. Verse 4, chapter 15 of Romans. Romans 15, verse 4. I could start in the beginning, but this can serve a little time. Whatsoever things were written aforetime in the Old Testament were written for our New Testament learning, that we New Testament people, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. That book back John is written that we might have hope through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that you may with one mind and one mouth, what's that say? Glorify God. Even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, wherefore receive you one another as Christ also received us to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, that the Gentiles might glorify God. There it is again. Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess thee among the Gentiles, saying unto thy name. And again he saith, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. Again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles. Laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse. He shall rise up to reign over the Gentiles, and in him shall the Gentiles trust and glorify God. That's trusting God is glorifying God. Now the God of hope fill you with all peace, joy, and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Now I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that's given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost to the glory of God. That's what it's all about. I have, therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things, nothing that pertains to me, in those things that pertain to God. I got some things to glory in. Those things that pertain to God. What is that? Everything. Everything that pertains to God. Those verses in Romans 1, 18 through 23 apply to those nations and peoples who never had a Bible and to whom God never sent a prophet, and yet they did have a witness of God. Those heathen, way back yonder, the time of this ignorance, God winked at them, let them go. Those heathen, they had a witness of God. The creation is a witness of God, speaks of God. Every language throughout the world, God's creation has a message to tell to men. Look at Acts 17 just a moment. Acts 17. Verses 22 through 27, Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you're too superstitious, too religious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. And that's the God of our generation to a large degree. It's sad, but it's true. They spell God the same way that we do. They pronounce it the same way that we do, but they don't describe Him like He described in this book. They don't preach Him and set Him forth like He set forth in this book. So it's another God and another spirit and another gospel. It's a lie. Now listen. Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, this unknown God, let me tell you about Him. Him, therefore, I declare unto you. This is Him. This is Him. God that made the world and everything in it. Seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, He doesn't dwell in temples made with hands that you all build down here and put a name on the door. Neither is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything. Seeing He giveth all life and breath and all things. Everything we have comes from God. Everything but our sin. That's our own. The only thing that's really ours in all of this world. Our sin. Everything else is a loan from God. We're tenants down here in God's world, on God's farm. Answerable and accountable for every moment of time and everything we do. Responsible and accountable unto God. God giveth all life and breath and all things. Now look what He's done. God hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the time before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord. We're in the hands of God, that we should seek the Lord. Isn't that what that means? If haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us, for it's in Him that we live and move and have our being. Testimony of God. Witness of God, that men may seek the Lord, glorify the Lord, be thankful unto the Lord. Acts 14, verses 16 and 17, the same thing. Let me read it to you. It's the way it's written is very plain and clear. Who in time past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways? Now that's what I was mentioning a while ago. To let a nation follow their own heart, follow their own will, follow their own will, or their own way. Nations to walk in their own ways, nevertheless now, He left not Himself without witness, in that He did good. He gave us rain from heaven, fruitful seeds, and filling our hearts with food and gladness. He wasn't without witness. When the rain comes, it comes from God. Whether it's a big rain or a small rain, Job 37, He sends the rain, the snow, the ice, all of these things. And these things are seen of all men. All men. Now to be out in this field plowing, he's furiously working to get done, and God sends a rain. He has to shut down his tractor and go to the barn. The sovereignty of God. God's in charge. God's in control. God has a witness to Himself. He has a witness to Himself. The evidence of God is all about us. Bears witness with something within us. Romans chapter 1. So that all men without excuse who do not glorify God with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. No man has anything to glory in. No man has anything to boast in. I think David quoted it this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and chapter 4 and verse 7. Who maketh thee to differ from another? who made me different looking than you all? God did it. Some of you will never be as tall as me. That's God. Some of you will be stronger than me, some weaker. That's the Lord. Some of you are more intelligent than me, and some perhaps not so intelligent. That's the Lord. It's the Lord. Who maketh thee to differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? And if you received it, you're a fool to boast in it. You're a fool to boast in it as if something you did. But that's the way men do. Let me show you one other passage. I've read this here several times. Deuteronomy, if you please. Deuteronomy chapter 18. I want to read it one more time. I remember not the time, not the year, but I remember the occasion and the results, the response, when I first saw this verse and realized what it meant for the first time, these verses. Look at verse 9, Deuteronomy 18, verse 9, talking to Israel. Now, when you all come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those people. Several nations lived inside the boundaries of that land God gave his people, and he ran them out. They left their houses and their stores and their farms, their vineyards, oliveyards. They left all that, and God gave it to Israel. Houses they didn't build, stores they didn't build, vineyards and orchards they didn't plant. God gave it to them. Now, there shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son, his daughter, to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or the observant, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things, and it hadn't changed, are an abomination to God. Abominable. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before you. And thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. For these nations, now notice this verse in light of what's been said, these nations which thou shalt possess, they hearkened unto observers of times, diviners, all other kind of witchcraft. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. God kept you back from these things. What made Israel to be unlike those nations? God did. He chose them, called them out, set them apart, made them his people, restrained them from these things. God did. Each of you here this morning, you didn't choose your mother, your father, you didn't choose this great land to be born in, the church you grew up under the shadow of. God. And set the bounds of your habitation. God did it. I can recall occasions where if a man had been born to the parish next door, the outcome would have been altogether different. That's all in the sovereign providence and mercy of our great God. God kept you back from these things. I didn't choose my godly father and mother. But I was born to them in the will and purpose of God. The will and purpose of God. We're naturally prone to take credit to ourselves, which we should be thanking God for. We do it. All the time we do it. We're here to glorify God, to brag on God, talk about God. That's what all He's done for us. I had a father, and so many people met him and learned to admire him, love him. Lived to be nearly 94. And whether he was at home, or out in the field on the farm, or building a barn or a fence for someone, or in the marketplace selling tobacco or cattle, he always one thing governed him, the glory of God. That's what made it cause him to make all of his decisions, the glory of God. The glory of God. Will it glorify God? Speaking as a Christian, the Apostle Paul said, we are the circumcision that worship God in the Spirit. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. And we just absolutely have no confidence in the flesh. All those things he used to boast in, he said, I've suffered the loss of them, and I do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, be found in him. Have no confidence in the flesh. The psalmist said it like this, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for thy truth's sake, give glory to God. Again, let all those that seek thee rejoice, be glad in thee, and let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. Don't say continually when you made your decision, what you did and where you did it, and you remember well. What God did. What God did. Let God be magnified. Believers should give their time and give themselves. All men should. But especially, most especially believers. Bragging on God. Bragging on His Son. Bragging on His salvation. That's what we're here for, to glorify God. And God said this through the prophet Isaiah. He said, I'm going to destroy all fleshly pride. Things men are proud of, I'm going to destroy it. Stain the pride of all flesh. I believe that's the way he said it. God will share his love. He'd give us mercy. He'd give us grace. He'd give us His Son. But He said, my glory, I will not give to another. Will not. God's going to get the glory one of these days. A picture of a man that's been bragging all of his life about him being a rich man, a wealthy man, a self-made man, and then he stands before God and finds out that without God he was a nothing, a sinful piece of clay. That's all. The mercies of God made him what he was. Just like it did Nebuchadnezzar, the mercies of God made him what he was. Paul says, I don't glory in being a minister of the gospel. I don't glory in what success I've had. I don't even know how to judge myself. I don't glory in my ministry. I don't glory in bringing many Gentiles to obey the gospel or bringing the gospel to them. But he said this when he was headed back to Jerusalem for the last time, Acts 20. He said, I know that by the Spirit of God, I know that chains and imprisonments and sufferings and all kinds of things await me. But that doesn't move me. Doesn't move me at all. Neither is my life dear unto myself. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course with joy and testify that gospel of the grace of God. He gloried in God. He gloried in the gospel. But he said, I do glory. Verse 17 of our text, I glory through Jesus Christ in things which pertain to God. And I want to do that a little bit this morning, God permit, and be my helper. And look at 1 Corinthians 15 just a moment. You're all familiar with this. A lot of people say it. People on the street say it. People that have no idea who God is say it. We say it and understand a little bit of what it means. Verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 15. I am the least of the apostles. I'm not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, what that really means is grace made me different. Grace changed me. Grace did it. Not me, grace. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. Changed from an enemy of God to a friend, to a loving apostle, to a dedicated, devoted slave of Jesus Christ. And that grace, God's grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet it wasn't me. It was grace. God's amazing, powerful, sufficient grace. Grace. I want to say this one thing and make a few points about this one thing. Paul, first and foremost, chiefly, gloried in God through Jesus Christ in the cross of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 14, he said, God forbid that I glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world crucified to me. You can have it. And I'm crucified to the world. It don't want me. It don't want me. God forbid that I glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that cross, that gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1, verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. You know that word power, dunamis. And it's the same word from which we get our word dynamite. That gospel is the dunamis of God, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's what Paul gloried in, the gospel, the power of God. He gloried in God in his regeneration. He gloried in God in his conversion. He gloried in God in his perseverance. He gave God all the glory for his salvation. And that's what we must do. And that's what God's people do. That's what they do. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, that all those who know and love God say continually, those who know his salvation, let God be magnified. Not some preacher, not some church, not some gimmick, not some altar call. God be magnified. I was sitting at home this morning thinking about the day of Pentecost. when an old ignorant, unlettered, unlearned fisherman got up and began preaching very simply and plainly, backing up what he said from the Old Testament. And God used that message. And about 3,000 souls were converted to the Lord. God, give us some more days like that. Let it be so. Amen. Let God be magnified, not Peter. Let God be magnified. Let God be magnified. I heard men brag about their repentance. Repentance is something God works in us. Look at John 16 just a moment. John 16. Verse 7. John 16:7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, this Comforter, the Comforter, he will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you, this Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin. Convince of sin. And of righteousness. And of judgment. Of sin, because they don't believe me. Of sin because they don't believe me. Repentance is a gift of God. He granted repentance unto the people. Set Christ on the throne that he might be a prince and a savior to grant repentance unto the people. To grant repentance, Peter said, he's granted repentance unto the Gentiles. Something God gives. Something God works in us. Philippians 1:6, Paul said, being certain of this one thing, I'm confident of this. That he which hath begun repentance, he which hath begun a good work in you, he'll perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He won't ever quit. When he puts his almighty hand on a sinner, he'll never take it off until he's conformed to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins the work. Let God be magnified. Give God the glory. Saving faith. Now, people all the time bragging about their faith. You've got it. You ought to exercise it. Somehow call it forth, conjure it up, or some way, something. But all men have not faith, Paul said in Thessalonians. All men have not faith. Faith is a gift of God. You know why I believe God is not like I should, but as much as I do? God gave me the gift of faith. By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourself. That faith is not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Not of works. Lest we even boast in our faith. And we would. We love to boast. But we have nothing to boast about. What do you have that you have not received? Saving faith is a gift of God. Philippians 1:29, you believed through grace. Ephesians 2:8-9, I just quoted, faith is a gift of God. Faith cometh. It's not in us, it cometh by hearing as we hear this book. By the will and purpose of God. Grace of God. And when you think about perseverance, we're going to hold out to the end. Christ said, my sheep never perish. My sheep shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father's greater than I. Nobody can pluck them out of my Father's hand. He said, my sheep, 1 Peter 1:5, are kept by the power of God. Through faith. Through faith. It's my faith. But behind that faith is God's power. The apostles A lot of things they didn't know, but they knew that. Lord, increase our faith. He said, Peter, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. Faith comes from God. We're not born with saving faith. We're born with a natural faith, but not saving faith. Saving faith gives reality to the things of God, the invisible things of God. Whereas Moses could walk out of Egypt not fearing the greatest monarch in the world, old Pharaoh and his chariots and his soldiers. The Bible said Moses left Egypt not fearing the king. How could he not fear that king? Because he saw him who is invisible. If you've seen him, you're going to say next, well, who's old Pharaoh? When you see God, who's Pharaoh? Nothing. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Saw him who is invisible. Let me show you another place. People want to brag on saving themselves. I wonder what they're going to say about this. The hour is coming, and now is when the dead, the spiritually dead, John 5, shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. And by the way, back in verse 21, it says, as the Father raises up the dead and gives life to whom he will, even gives life, giveth them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. That's not the Jesus we hear about, but that's the one in the Scriptures. He gives life to whom he will. And then it says in verses 28 and 29, you know, when we die, we're not saved. There's still another step. Someone must take us from this earthly body, this physical body, this dying body, this body of death. Someone must take us from there to glory. Now the angels, the fallen angels, the demons, they're going to try to hinder it. How are we going to get there? We're going to save ourselves? We didn't save ourselves in any step of the way. These preachers, I've heard preachers say, you take the first step. Spurgeon said one time, he said, if you didn't take the first step, you'd walk all the way to glory. Because that first step is from death to life. Death to life. What do we need? Life. What's offered us in the gospel? Life. Eternal life. First, you said, you tell me about a man that's on the battlefield and somebody cut his head off and he picked up his head and walked all the way into town. He said, I believe that. If you prove to me he can walk that first step, take that first step, I believe he could carry his head all the way to town. I believe a man can save himself if he can take that first step from death to life. But I don't believe he can. I can't, you can't, nobody can. It's a step from death unto life. Now, verse 28. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming. And I don't think it'll be too long. To the which all that are in the graves. Man, they've been there a long time. Some of them rotted. Most of them rotted. Some of them are buried at sea. Big fish ate them. And a bigger fish came by and ate that big fish. But one of these days, our Lord Jesus Christ is going to speak. And all those graves shall open up. They're going to hear his voice. They're going to those bodies. Those bodies going to come out of those graves. Same body. Those bodies are going to come out of those graves. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. That's the end of our salvation. When we're called before God, and He says, enter ye into the joy of the Lord. I prepared it for you a long time ago. Enter ye into the joy of the Lord. Now let me show you a couple of places. I won't hurry. Look at Mark chapter 4 just a moment. Everybody knows so much in our day. It's like Paul told Timothy, they're always learning, but they're never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Never able to learn the gospel. Never able to see the glory of God. Christ said in verse 26, this is the way the kingdom of God is. So is the kingdom of God. As if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. And I don't know how it works. I've raised a lot of gardens. I've raised a lot of crops. I don't know how it works. It's a great mystery. Great mystery. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that full corn in the ear. And when the fruit is brought forth, immediately the farmer puts forth his sickle, because it's harvest time. That's the way the kingdom of God is. The gospel is being preached. And through the preaching of that gospel, God bringing Hebrews 2, many sons unto glory. It's not a microwave thing. If they have been saved, they're being saved. And one day they'll be plumb saved. It's a process. A process. The mighty hand of God. I must read this to you. Isaiah chapter 26. I must read this to you. I'm not going to read many verses, just enough to give you the idea. Verse 3. Well, I wish I could fully, perfectly, continually trust in the Lord. Come what may, trust in the Lord. Because thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now look at this shocking statement down in verse 12. Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us. For thou also hast wrought all our works in us. Working in us continually to will and to do of his good pleasure. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. I think it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. His word worketh in those who believe. His word worketh. As the Spirit of God brought you to repentance. As the Spirit of God given you faith. And rejoice in God. Give Him all the thanks and all the glory. And follow Him. Believer's Baptism. Okay, David.